My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, very odd to be talking about the Civil War in mid-September, but here we are. And here is our friend Joey Harrington live on the fan.
This is never true.
Did I miss the theme music?
Well, it's Football Friday. Yeah. Well,
because it's not story time anymore.
It's a sponsored thing, and so we do the regular open.
It's awkward. It's clunky, Joey.
Just trust us. We know. Hey, I got a question for you, okay?
Yes.
And we've already bet on this. I already brought this up on the show, and we differ on how we think you'll answer. Okay, so what if I told you that Oregon State wins this game, but I will then guarantee your Ducks a spot in the college football playoff? Are you taking that? With the alternative being, you just play out the season.
No, I'm playing out the season.
So I was right.
All right. I thought you'd take the guaranteed playoff spot.
No. No, I'm playing it out.
Even the way they've looked in the first 2 weeks, you're like, you can't handle losing to the Beavs?
This year's just different. Right, and it's a different. You know, you say, oh, this year's different because there's a lot riding on it. You know, the winner goes to the Rose Bowl. You know, those years of what was like 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, where like the winner of the Civil War went to the Rose Bowl. This year is different because, well, we left them for dead. Yeah, I mean, it True. Was, and we've talked about this. I mean, it was the. I mean, I can't use the proper adjectives on radio, but it was the worst thing. Like, I still cannot believe that Oregon State and Washington State got left out like that. Like, just completely left out in the cold. So there is a little bit of, well, you damn well better back it up. Like, you know, if if you're going to leave us hanging out like that, then you better go and, you know, if you're that much better and you belong in this conference and we don't, then you better go win it. Like, there's just an odd dynamic to it this year, which is kind of exacerbated by the way Oregon State has played. Well, I should say the way that Oregon has played and kind of like subpar performance by expectations, and the way that Oregon State has played. Like, these guys have run the football for 3.25 a game.
Yeah.
Like, this is no joke. They're giving up a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Now, granted, like, they're not playing against Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State right now, but like, this is a pretty decent Oregon State football team, especially compared to what they were supposed to be after losing all of their talent. Mm-hmm. So, like, there is just this really weird dynamic that I don't want to lose this one.
All right, then let's go with this. Let's go with the worry index, 1 to 10, going into Reser, eked out 2 at home, Oregon State on fire, O-line problems. Where's the Joey worry index?
Five?
Yeah. I'd say that's about
because
right.
Because I still look like Oregon is a okay, and maybe this is the conversation to have. I was going to say Oregon is still a better team. That hasn't been proven. Oregon is a better collection of talent.
Yes.
It is not necessarily a better team. So that, I want to say, takes away some of the worry. Like, if it wasn't, if we're talking about a normal year, right, where Oregon State's quarterback hadn't transferred and their quarterback or their coach hadn't bolted for another school and their tailback hadn't had, well, the issues that he had in the offseason. Like, if we're talking about a normal matchup, my worry meter would be significantly higher because talent level would, you know, potentially be on a more even scale. This is an Oregon team that is, I don't know how you quantify it. I mean, are we talking about stars of recruits? But, like, this is because of the transfer portal, because of the recruiting job that Dan and Tosh and the rest of them have done. Like, this is a head and shoulders more talented football team at Oregon than Oregon State. They're not playing necessarily better football, but the fact that there is literally at any moment there is a potential to break something open on the Oregon side takes a little bit of that worry away for me. But like you said, that they got a lot of O-line issues. They got to figure this out. You can't live, you know, week to week the way that they have. It's going to bite you in the butt, but I don't think that necessarily induces the worry. What'd you call it? We've dubbed it something, the Joey worry meter, or
the worry
you,
index.
Yeah, the worry index.
The worry index, yeah. It doesn't jump me above a 5 yet.
No. Okay, well, Suk doesn't think that the offensive line issues, while they are not, you know, season defining, he doesn't think that's something that's going to get better right away. I think, you know, there's a lot of
easily fixed.
There's a lot of O-line doctors
okay,
out
okay.
there.
Let's I want to talk that, you know, as an O-lineman. Okay. Yeah. On our Talking Duck show, I did what they were calling it, Doodles with Joey, where I was like, I got a scrap piece of paper here. Without being in the huddle, without knowing their play call, we don't know whether the center's controlling the front calls or the quarterback.
Absolutely.
Fair?
Fair.
Okay. Now, we don't know, without being in the huddle and being in the game plan room, we don't know whether they're running a slide protection. We don't know whether they're running a man protection. We don't know whether they're running or throwing hot off the front side or side adjusting off the back. We don't know those things.
Nope.
Right? Fair?
Absolutely.
Okay. But we do know that something is being missed.
Yes.
Right? And it's not a talent issue. It's not a somebody is getting beat issue. It is a somebody is not communicating issue. Mm-hmm. Fair?
Yes, on a lot of those. I'll push back a little bit, but I see where you're going with this. And absolutely, like the two sacks that Boise State got coming from the outside, neither one of those should have been a sack. Those were someone blew an assignment.
And then the first, wait, hold on. So are you talking about where left tackle tried to cut and the DN jumped over him?
No, we're talking about one with the one that came from the left side is the DN came across the tackle's face. The tackle went all the way down with him. They looped another guy around and he came off of him. So like he never switched with his guard and came off. And then,
okay. But see, here's the thing though. Like I see that as that's a communication issue.
Sure.
Like, that's not a talent issue.
No, yes.
That is a communication. That is like left guard and left tackle. You know it better than anybody. You got to communicate. Like, you got to be hand to hand and touching that guy to the side of you saying, I got him. Here he comes. Like, pass him back. Like, that's stuff like that's not being less talented than the guy across from you.
Yeah.
Right? These issues. I mean, they had two or three guys coming free off the edge.
Yep.
Like, these are issues that are not, well, Oregon's just not as good as their opponent, or a guy just got beat one-on-one. These are literally just, like, communication, who is responsible for what, and to me, that's more fixable.
Sure. I don't disagree with that. I think everything you said there is fair. My thing is, and this is just from me having played the position, and I try to watch O-line play, and I went back and looked at specifically the Boise State game. I went back and tried to look at the Idaho game too, but I spent more time on the Boise State one. And to me, when you get sloppy, I hate calling out college kids, lazy, heavy-footed play. And that's what you have right now. Like, it is lazy, sloppy, flat-footed play. There's one play, the one where Gabriel escaped the sack and ended up with a nice little scramble. They're running a little play action where the right guard pulls, and he's making it look like run, and his job is to kick out the defensive end, right? He's setting the edge. He just stops. He just runs out and literally stops in front of the defensive end. The defensive end just runs by him and should have had another sack. Like, and I see guys not moving feet. Again, it just seems lazy, heavy-footed play and really sloppy play. And I'm not saying that it's not fixable, but when you have old lines that play like that, it's not as simple as just a week to week, hey, we're going to be better. Some of that stuff tends to be problematic early on when you have O-line, especially against lesser competition. When these things are problems, they can get better, but they tend to be nagging. And I just tell you right now, this will be the weak link on the team all year long. I'm not saying it can't get better. I'm not saying it can't get to a point where you are still an elite team, but we are in week 10. We are going to be sitting here and say the weak link of this offense is going to be that offensive line. I do not think this offensive line, if I'm looking from into the future, becomes an elite O-line. Can it become a good O-line? Yes. I do not think it's going to become elite with what I've seen in the first 2 weeks.
You will know better than I. Where does the injury situation officially stand right now on this offensive line?
And
who is missing from where?
Yeah.
And with their return, because right now I'm trying to figure out, okay, let's just start there. How many of these offensive linemen that will be playing tomorrow were slated starters at the beginning of the season?
Right now, probably one.
Okay. How many of those four positions that are trying to be filled will be filled by the slated starter at some point in the near future?
Well, it's correct. I was talking about the interior. Both tackles, those guys are there, and one interior lineman. So, yes, I do think at least one, if not two, interior linemen at some point will probably be starting that are not healthy right now. And that can make a world of difference. But I haven't seen them play, and so that's hard for me to go off of. But it's a fair point that 3-4 weeks, when they play Ohio State, this interior line could look completely different because you have different bodies.
Bedford back? Didn't Lanning say Bedford might?
He's being very noncommittal. He gave us a maybe.
Yeah, all right.
What I'm trying to figure out here, and this is kind of an across-the-board, I was having a conversation with somebody. At times, you don't want to criticize college players.
No, I'm always careful about that. I don't like it.
No. However.
But we do it.
Yeah, but, all the time. Yeah.
No. But there is kind of this a transition from amateur college players on a $720 scholarship stipend.
Yes.
To paid professional players. Mm-hmm. And I made a comment to somebody the other day that I said, at times it looks like this is just a collection of really talented guys that are just kind of doing their own thing.
I couldn't agree
like,
more.
And it's not necessarily the reading of the press clippings. Because there are no press clippings anymore because you can't clip the internet. Oh, I guess you print it and on a computer, and then you could cut it out and put it on. But I digress. Like there is, I don't know. I'm having a hard time deciphering whether this is an injury situation that has caused a little bit of confusion up front, that has consequently thrown a curveball to an incredibly talented group of players that haven't played a whole lot together, right? If you're a, you know, a group that's, I mean, if I had Keenan Howery and Jason Willis, you know, and we had a couple changes up front, Justin Peele, Mo Morris, and like, we're going to figure it out, right? Like, we got it covered. But this group, led by an incredibly talented quarterback who's, you know, prior to 2 weeks ago had never taken a snap at Oregon, with receivers who had transferred in, with a tailback who was coming off of injury, like, there are a lot of pieces that are kind of up in the air. So I'm having a hard time deciphering whether it's a curveball being thrown by injuries or whether this is, like, a really talented group of guys that have to figure out how to be a team instead of a group of individuals.
Could it be a little bit of both?
Yeah, fair enough.
Could be a little bit of both.
And to your press clippings thing, I know we're up against it. Everyone wants to bag on the interior offensive line, and I totally get that. The two tackles that you had, one was a preseason All-American, one was an all-conference player. They are not playing to that level either. This is not independent of those two guys either. And I don't like calling out college kids, but like you said, when you're taking money and you're a preseason All-American and you're a preseason all-conference guy and you're supposed to play on Sundays, those two guys are not being the anchors that you need them to be in the pass or the run game. Which, so this whole group needs to get better. It's not, I just don't like sometimes I think we're focusing on one or two kids and like, if that guy solves his problem, then everything's better. It's not. It's a collective problem. It's five guys across the board.
Well, and it's not, and I know we have to get to break, but it's not even just five guys. You include the quarterback in that, right?
Absolutely.
Because we don't know how those that's being communicated, whose job it is. There is a group, you know, include a tight end, right? There is a group of people that need to figure this out. You're right. It's not on one or two guys. It's on a collective group that's got to figure it out if they want to be where they are expected to be at the end of the year.
All right, coming up next with Joey Harrington, keys that key things he wants to see more out of Oregon in this game. We'll get to that when we return, courtesy of Mods PDX on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Oregon State, 12:30 tomorrow here on The Fan. Joey Harrington with us, wrapping things up here. We spoke about the offensive line last segment. Joey, where else are you looking? What else is key to you? What do you want to see more of Oregon in this game outside of the O-line?
You know what I'd like to see? They took a couple shots in the Boise game. Pushed the ball down the field a little bit more than they did against Idaho. And it seemed to spark things in that third quarter, right? They had a couple more, you know, a couple of mid-range, you know, 15, 20, 30-yard balls down the field. There's kind of a, you know, Dylan has done an incredible job, what, 41 of 47? I mean, he's completing over 80% of his passes this year. We all know how college football has changed, and a lot of that stuff happens in the line of scrimmage. And it seems to be either a line of scrimmage bubble screen or something quick, or you're taking a shot, like, down the sideline. They threw three or four balls, some deep crosses. You know, he threw a great seam. Like, there are a couple balls that they threw in that third quarter that seemed to spark the offense a little bit, right? If you're having an issue at offensive line protecting, move the pocket, take a shot into that intermediate range. That put Boise on their heels in the third quarter, and consequently they were able to run the ball. They were able to get a, you know, get some momentum. Now, had it not been for two fumbles in the fourth quarter, I think it would have been a different, you know, it would have been a different game or a different ending. But they had it rolling. I think that's going to be the thing that I'd like to see tomorrow, is I want to see, instead of just trying to run the ball or throw bubble screens or, you know, stuff around the line of scrimmage and, you know, throwing fades up the sideline, I want to see him move the pocket, get Dylan out, you know, on the edge, and throw some of those 20 to 30 yard balls on first and second down, right? Start, you know, if you can't sit in the pocket and consistently protect, find a way to get on the edge and get the ball down the field to be a catalyst for your other stuff.
Yeah, and if you go back and look, the two big plays that they had, protection on it was beautiful. And they are doing some more play action stuff with the protection and trying to move some stuff. I'm with you. I'd love to see him get out of the pocket more. But yeah, the amount of weapons you have on this offense, it's silly, the number of talented guys. And so I'm with you. This offense, as it continues to evolve, find ways to get vertical and put some pressure. And if you do that too, that'll loosen up some of the run game as well. Just that threat. And you saw it in the second half, like you said, it sparked it. The run game was working. You know, for all the flack that the run game is getting, they were turning out chunk plays against Boise State.
Well, they were
Boise
turning
State.
Out chunks because they were able to put Boise on their heels, yeah. Right? Yeah. If you have a threat, you know, throwing a fade, I mean, what does that really do if you're not hitting it, right? Yeah. They were completing the ball 15, 20, 25 yards down the field, which puts them on their heels. Yeah. That's what Bilotti and Tedford were so incredible at, is changing the, hey, we're sitting in the pocket, it's not working. Great. Let's change the launch point. Yeah. Let's work a concept down the field that isn't a 40-yard fade and that isn't just a quick screen, right? There's that intermediate route. There's that intermediate space that often gets overlooked. That is just, I mean, often it's sitting there wide open at times. You just have to scheme the routes in a way to take advantage of it. If it's not getting protected, move them out of the pocket and hit those zones to just soften things up a little bit.
And one of those at Boise State went for a 50-yard touchdown. It was just a simple, I think it was a little simple little slant pattern.
A little slant, yeah, exactly.
And missed Abe. And that's my thing, is like, spread them out. You got athletes, man. Put those guys in space. Yeah. When you look at some of the guys they have, it just looks different. Like, from tight end to wide receiver, like, I don't remember a more physically imposing group that Oregon has ever trotted out there on the outside. I mean, I want to get the ball to that Sadiq kid, the tight end they have. Oh, my
God. Tight end?
It's like you created him in a lab.
Oh, boy.
All right, that's going? Are you going to the big game in Corvallis with your Joey Harrington jersey?
I'm going to the big game. Yeah.
There's a youth soccer game, I'm guessing.
Oh.
Exactly. It's at Delta Park.
Oh.
Wow.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Bring the mobile home.
Yeah. That's my life. Like, that's where we're living right now.
Yeah. Weekends or
Thank
soccer
God
games.
For Xfinity, the Xfinity mobile app.
Well, there you go.
Nice little plug.
I like it.
All right.
There you go.
Well, wear your Joey Harrington jersey so everybody knows who you are, at least.
Oh, or I could just sit in my chair under a tree and not wear my jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then leave that to your brother. He's out there wearing your Falcons jersey around a casino somewhere.
Do people ever come up to you at games like that? Or, yeah, games and practices and stuff? Talk to you?
Like at the soccer field?
Yeah.
Not in that way. You know, we'll just kind of be talking on the sideline and asking what the score is. And, you know, I'll tell them because, you know, I got my phone sitting there.
Right.
You know? Got to hide it, though, a little bit because, you know, you can't actually be watching the TV while your kid's playing on the field, right?
No, that's poor form, although I think
that's
we all
bad
do.
Form.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. It's one of those hidden, you know, the unspoken truths where it's like, yep, I'm at the game, but I'm rarely watching the other game.
My dad used to bring a TV to church, and he would sit in the back pew and watch the NFL during church, and it was amazing.
The thing with that, like the big rectangle block with the antennas.
Yeah, he had one of the boom boxes, right? And you know the boom box had a tape player, the radio, and then where the double tape player would be side by side. One of those was like a 6-inch black and white screen, and my dad would
Shut
bring
up.
That. to the, and he would sit in the very back pew of church with the antenna up. He would sit at his feet, and my dad would watch like the Seattle Seahawks during church. And it was just like, he didn't care. He just, it's, he's like, hey, I'm listening to the Lord and watching. He had the sound off. Yeah, he was great.
What's more exciting, church or a kid's soccer game?
I'm taking a kid's soccer game.
Me too.
All day long.
Yeah.
Well, look, as I learned very, very quickly playing down in the South, that God is a football fan, apparently.
That's right.
So, you know, you know, I don't think anybody's upset about that one.
God wants you watching that football game.
God wants you in that pew watching a football game. God needs you in that pew watching a football game. Deep down in places, you don't talk about at parties.
All right, you enjoy that. The real big game tomorrow. Yeah. You enjoy that. Thank you.
Exactly. I will.
Have a good one. Have a good weekend. Now, Mods PDX, the future of building is here. I have to play something for you.
Yeah, what do you got?
And those of you that are P1s know the origin of this drop. I'm just going to play this, and then I'm just going to stop talking.
Okay.
We're turning off.
He just threw another effing pick. He has six effing picks. Bench his ass. So bad.
Where's the bean when we need him?
So bad. And they're not even close. Like, he's suddenly doesn't see anyone on the defense.
I did catch during, like, Joey's second to last response, your hands just go up in the air.
If you don't know,
God!
Rob is watching the Kansas
game. Look at Leipold. He's as pissed as I am.
He's watching the UNLV Kansas game, and he's none too happy with the with Rock Chalk.
Fire him! All right. I feel better now.
Okay,
hey,
good.
We're still winning the
You're
game.
You're still winning
the
game.
Put him in jail. Yee-hoo! But not for long.
No.
The club is next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.